All right. Welcome to church at Hillcrest. What does basketball have to do with the Word of God? What does basketball have to do with growing spiritually? Well, thank you for letting me come into your church today and share my story and share how God used an ordinary object as a tool to speak truth into my life. I was in the fourth grade. Any fourth graders here? Raise your hand. Fourth graders, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds. I was your age when I was in a school assembly and I watched a lady who could do amazing things with basketball. She could juggle, she could dribble, and she could spin. And I loved sports. Wow, I loved everything that she could do. And I wanted to be so good at those things. And I'll never forget that after that assembly, let me take a time out here for a second. After that school assembly, I ran up to her and I told her, I said, I want to be just like you. I said, I want to learn how to do all the things that I just saw you do. She had a big smile on her face. She gave me a pat on the back and she shared some words of encouragement. And her words of encouragement came from the Bible. She shared a Bible verse, which is Philippians 4:13. And one of the reasons that verse stuck out to me, or that moment, I should say, stuck out to me, is because at 9 years old, I was in a school assembly, and somebody cool, somebody athletic, somebody energetic shared Jesus. I had never heard anybody talk about Jesus outside of the church. That was the first time. So that captivated my attention. And then she pointed me to God's word, Philippians 4:13. Well, I did grow up in a church, and just because you grow up in a church doesn't mean that you know everything about the Word of God. And so I was familiar enough with some of the books of the Bible that I flipped to Philippians 4:13 after school that day, and I was curious what message she was trying to get across to me. When I read Philippians 4:13, it says, "We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us." Or, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." When I heard that verse for the first time, I was like, yes, I love that verse. You know why? It was short. It was an easy one. It was an easy one. There's some hard Bible verses in here, but that one was easy. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It was such a nice verse. It was a positive verse. It was uplifting and it was motivating. And there was one word in there that stuck out to me, and it was the word "can." I loved that it said, "I can," because I was telling people some crazy things at 9 years old. I said, "Someday I want to travel all over the world, just like the Harlem Globetrotters." I said, "I want to learn how to spin lots of basketballs at one time." I said, "I want to entertain during halftime of NBA basketball games." Missouri doesn't even have a pro team, so my dreams were pretty far out there. And so I heard the word "can't." You can't do that. That's cute. You're just a little kid. You can't do that. But then in God's word, I loved that it said, "You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you." So I loved that verse so much that I thought, I would repeat it. I would memorize it. And when I would get frustrated, I would remind myself over and over again of those words. And as I started to continue to practice, I thought, well, maybe there's more verses like that. If that verse is so happy, if that verse is so encouraging, that there must be more. And so I went on this journey through God's Word, looking for Bible verses that I could memorize that would motivate me. Verses that would encourage me and inspire me. And I found a lot of them. One verse would say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will make your path straight." And I thought, who wouldn't want that? That's a good thing. So I would highlight that in my Bible, and I would memorize that verse, and I would go to another verse in the Bible, and I would say, "I press on towards the mark to reach the prize which Christ has called me upward." Well, that sounds pretty good too. I want a prize. That sounds nice. And so I would highlight that verse, and then I would go to other places in the Bible, and sometimes in the book of Leviticus and Numbers, and I'd look for those upbeat verses And I was like, this is a lot of blood, a lot of messy stuff going on there. I was like, that's not very inspiring to me. And I was like, I'm just going to leave that aside and let me go look for another one. And I would go back to one that said, be joyful always, pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. I was like, well, I like that. I mean, that's pretty upbeat there. And so I would highlight that verse. And so I went on that journey, just searching for those tools of encouragement. And what I learned is, as I started to grow in my faith and understand God's word a little bit better, I realized that God didn't give us his word just to pick and choose the things that we want or the things that we like or just the things that make us feel good. But I realized that God gave us his word, the Holy Bible, from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation. God gave us this as our source of motivation. God gave us this as our encouragement. This is the tool that he has given us for our hope. But we have to open it, and we have to look at it, and we have to read it. And so when I went back to Philippians 4:13 after growing in my faith, I realized that there was a different word that stuck out to me. I love how God's word didn't change, but my heart did. And so when I went back and read Philippians 4:13 at a later time, the word can didn't stick out to me as much, but another word stuck out. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the word that stuck out to me was the word Christ. I can do all things through Jesus Christ because he is our strength. And so that really brought me to a point of really understanding how, even though I started out at a point that may not have been the right direction, but God used it. God just said, stay in my word. Be faithful to stay in my word. And that's one of my words of encouragement to each of you today is seek out God's word. If you have a Bible, hopefully you have a Bible. If you have a Bible, open it up. Explore it. You may not... I'm not going to say you may not. You won't understand everything in it. You won't even be able to pronounce everything in it. But seek out God's word. Start in the Psalms or Proverbs and just spend a little time there and then explore, venture out and try a different verse. And if you're open to that, then God will speak to you. I love basketball just a little bit, as you guys could probably tell. I've spent a lot of time with this thing. And I love God's word. I love spending time in God's word. But I was challenged at one point in my life because as life happens, things consume our time and they consume our energy. And I was consumed by basketball and by sports. And I wanted to go to college and play basketball. And I knew in order to earn a college scholarship that I had to spend a lot of time with this. And I had to be good at it. And I had to train at it. And the days that I didn't feel like it, I had to keep practicing, even though I didn't feel like it, even though I didn't want to. But when I shared my goals and dreams with people around me over and over again, they said, this has to consume your life. You've got to put this first if you really want to be good. They said, if you want to go from sitting on the bench to playing on the court, then you've got to spend all your time with this. Eat, sleep, and drink basketball. And I thought, well, if that's what it takes, then I'm good for that. I'll do everything that I can because I enjoy it so much. But soon after that, I had made another commitment in my life at a young age. At 10 years old, I prayed a prayer to put God first in my life. And again, at 10 years old, I didn't know very much about the Bible, but I did know that God loved me. I believed in Genesis that God created. God created. Just that. God created. And I was a part of that creation. And I believe that, and I believe what the Bible says, that God loved us so much, that he loved me so much, that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And I understood what being a sinner was. What is being a sinner? We mess up. We fall short of God's glory. We're not perfect, but he is. And so I understood that, and the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so I understood that I was a sinner, and I believed what the Bible says, that Jesus died and that he rose again and that he lives and he wants us to have a life in him. I believed those things. I understood those things the best that I could at 10 years old. And my pastor prayed with me, and that day he gave me a Bible. And he said, Robin, he said, now that you're a believer, he said, this has to be first and foremost in your life. He said, you've got to spend all your time with this. Carry this with you everywhere that you go. And you know, he didn't really mean physically carry this with me everywhere that I went, literally. It would be hard to ride a bike and carry your Bible in your hand, right? Hard to carry all your school books and then your Bible with you at the same time. But what he was really saying was what it says in Psalm 119, where it says, to hide the word of God in our hearts so that we won't sin against him. And the only way that we can hide God's word in our hearts is if we open it up and if we know what those words are. So he says to hide it in our hearts. So that's what my pastor was saying. He said, read this, study it, pray over it, go to church, go to Sunday school, go to VBS. And then he said, and when you're there, make sure you listen. Because you can be there, but if you're not open and if you're not listening, being here doesn't make any difference. And so he said, this has to be first in your life. And at 10 years old, I was excited to make a commitment like this because I was going to have a new name. I was going to be called a Christian. I was going to be called a believer. And better than that, I was going to be a part of something that was bigger and more powerful than myself. I wanted to be a part of something that was bigger than me. And so I looked at my pastor and I was like, I can do everything that you told me. And I thought I could do it to perfection if I just tried hard enough. But I was excited. And I walked away sharing that I had just made a decision and a commitment in my life. But then slowly, I started to get confused. And I thought, wait a second. My pastor just told me that this has to be first in my life. But what about this stuff? Because I like this stuff too. And I was told that to succeed and excel in these things, that this had to be first. And so I looked back and forth and I thought, I have to make a choice. As a little kid, I didn't remember hearing about a lot of Christian athletes like we hear about today, people professing their faith in the world of sports. I didn't hear a lot about that at that time. And so I was just thinking, how is this going to work? I want both of these things, but I don't know how they go together. And in my mind, when I pictured a godly young lady, the picture in my mind was a prim and proper little girl who wore ruffles on her dresses and bows in her hair, and that wasn't me. So I was trying to figure out, can I even be a godly young lady? Because I don't look like that. And so I prayed about it. I asked a lot of questions, and then here's what I came up with. I decided to take the most important thing in my life, which is God's word. And then I decided to take things in life that I enjoy and have fun with, like basketball. And I just decided to balance the things that I enjoy in life on top of the most important thing in my life. And this is how God works. If we put God first in our life, He wants to balance everything else that we have. Whatever we have in our life that's good, God doesn't want to take away the good, but He does want to bless it. Whatever we have in our life that's bad, sinful, humiliating, we all have it. You see, God doesn't turn His back on us like some people will. But God opens His arms wide, and He reaches to the depths of wherever our sin has led us, and He embraces us, and He waits for us to choose Him. One of my favorite Bible verses is 2 Corinthians 4:18. And that verse says this. It says, let us fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I can put that in simpler words. All that means is this. The things that I do with basketball, this is what we can see with our eyes. This is a lot of fun. This is temporary. It's not going to last. But we can spend time with this, we can enjoy this, and we can even be good at it. But no matter how we look at this, the Bible says this doesn't last forever. And I say this could be anything. This is my experience with the basketball, but for some of you it's something else. What is that that's only temporary, that consumes your time? But the Bible says, let's fix our eyes on what is unseen. I can't see Jesus right now with my eyes, but I can feel Him in my heart. And that's what the Bible says is going to last forever. And that's what I enjoy sharing. I love doing the basketball skills, but I love being able to to go across the country into gyms, into churches, into clinics, anywhere. And I love being able to use the tool of basketball and sports and then talk to them about what is unseen. Talk to them about Jesus and share that God loves them, that we don't have to perform for God's love, that we don't have to be good enough, qualified, well-spoken for God to receive His love and His grace and His mercy. So I just came here today, and I'm thankful that I could share with you and encourage you to put first, seek first the kingdom of God. Before you seek out anything else in your life, seek first the kingdom of God and let Him speak to your heart and let Him guide you in the things that you are gifted in. And as I close today, I just want to close with a challenge to moms and dads and parents. You know, it's sports is a crazy thing. No matter if it's basketball, football, whatever it is, sports is pretty crazy. But when your kids are involved in it, it's fun for some of us to spectate. It's fun for some of us to participate in. And a lot of us just get a kick out of sitting back and watching the young people utilize your facilities and watching them have fun and watching them come together as a team and watching them learn more than just basketball. But my challenge is this. Before you seek out to make your kid the most smartest, the fastest, the best athlete, whatever it is that you're nurturing in your children, which are all good things, my challenge is this. Before you nurture those things, let's make sure that we teach our children how to pray. Teach your kids how to pray. I grew up in a going to church family, but I did not grow up in a praying together family. What a difference it makes. If you've never prayed together as a family, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be kind of weird at first. It's going to be different. It's hard. It's not always easy to come together with the people that you're closest to. But I would just encourage you to, if you don't know how to pray, even if you've been in church for a long time, bring someone alongside you and just let somebody say, hey, pray with us until we can learn to do this on our own. You don't always have to pray with words, just coming together and just silently speaking what's on your heart. But let's become praying together families so you can have a praying together church. And then your community is going to be a praying together community. And then our country can be blessed as God wants to bless us if we would be faithful and pray and seek Him in everything that we do. If you'll just bow your heads and close your eyes, I'll just close us in prayer. Father God, thank You that You love us. Thank You for Your great love. Thank You for Your mercy. And thank You for Your grace. Thank You for all the many ways that You can speak truth into our hearts. Lord, open our ears, open our eyes, and open our hearts so that we can receive all the things that You want to do in our lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.